Sukkah, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Hay, 4-5. Mitzvahs Arava Ketzad. How do they perform that special mitzvah of the Aravos, those larger Aravos, in the Beis HaMikdash? So first of all, they needed these massive willow branches. The Aravos they used were huge. They had to be 11 amos long, as we'll see why shortly. 11 amos, roughly, which is getting close to 20 feet, something like, you know, 5, 6 meters, 7 meters. Massive. So how do they get them? What to do with them? Makom ha'ilamata miYerushalayim. There's a certain place at the bottom of the mountain of Yerushalayim where the waters would gather because it flowed down the hill and therefore have a marsh to and wet area to grow these massive willow branches. V'nikra motza. The place was called Motza. Now, the Gemara says it actually was had another name, the primary name, which is Kolnia. And Kolnia means like tax exempt. And Motza, actually, the word Mutza also would mean like taken out, exempt from paying taxes. It's brought down that the people in this town, let's call it whatever, this place, were exempt of taxes because they provided these massive special willows for the Beis HaMikdash services and purposes. The Bar Tanura, our hero in this shir, actually says that when he, in his time, he lived in the 15th century in Yerushalayim, there was a place that was called Kolnia, and indeed it was at the bottom of a hill, and indeed it had large willow branches growing there. So that's Motza. I'm not sure if the modern-day place called Motza near the on the way to Yerushalayim is the same place or not. That I can't say. Very possibly. So Yorn Lisham Umalaktin Misham Murbios Shel Arava. They went down there and they gathered from there massive branches of willows, and they were had to be about 11 amos long, as I said, because Uvan Vizokfinosan Bitsidi Hamazbeach. They would stand them up and drape them over the side of the altar. Veroshehen, and their tops, the tips of these things, Kfufin Agabi Mizbeach. They actually would tip over and touch the top of the Mizbeach. Now, the Mizbeach is a very tall structure. It's basically made up of three rectangles or prisms that are like kind of, imagine it's poured concrete. Okay, so the first layer called the Yesod, which was 32 amos on a side. Basically, it's a little more complicated. It's called 32 on a side for now. And one amma high, that's what's important. Then it was recessed in one amma. Then you had the middle layer, which was called the Sovev, which was 5 amos high. And since it was, if the other one was 32, this is basically 30 on a side because recessed one amma in all sides here. One amma from the top was where they had the chutta sikra, that red line went on top of the sovev there. And then you had the third layer called the gag. The gag was also recessed in one more tefach on all sides, so you basically had, let's call it 28 on a side, and it was 3 amos high. So if you're doing the math, 1 amma high for the yesod, plus 5 amos high for the sovev, plus 3 amos high for the gag, 1 plus 5 plus 3 gives you 9. And then on the four corners of the Mizbeach, atop of the Gog, they're the Karne Mizbeach, these Karen is like a horn. There are these Amma by Amma by Amma blocks on the four corners, which adds another Amma to the height. So the top of the Karen to the bottom of the Yesod would be a total of 10 Amos, the 9 I counted before, plus a tenth for the Karen. Now, the mission here says they were Zokfenoso Betside HaMizbeach. They stood these large Murbia Shel Rava, these willow branches, on the side of the Mizbeach, meaning that the bottom of the branch was sitting on the corner atop the Yesod. So it's an Amma off the ground. But still it has to reach up another 9 Amos, this is draped over, to get to the top of the Karen. Then it needs to reach over the Karen and then back down again to touch the top, the Gog, the of the altar on top there, where the pyres were burning. So you have to get, essentially ignoring the diagonal part of it, you basically have to get 9 up to the top of the Karen, roughly speaking 1 over, a tenth, and then 1 down again, an 11th Amma, basically. So that's any of these massively long Aravos. And when they put them on there, draped over the Mizbeach, Taku, Veheriu, Vetaku, they blew trumpets, and these were trumpets for the sake of Simcha. There were three blasts, Tekiah, the long solid blast, the Trua, the broken blast, and tekiah again, a long blast. It's learned out from Psukim, we learn in Rosh Hashanah, that there's, whenever you're blowing the shofar, you have to have a tekiah and then a trua and then a tekiah again. So that's why you have three here. At the end of the Masechta, in the fifth parak, Mishnah also, we'll talk about, we'll count trumpet blasts and we'll say shalosh al gabei ha-mizbeach. There are three for being on top of the mizbeach. That's referring to these trumpet blasts over here. So these trumpets are signaling the joy that's going on as we are doing the mitzvah with the tradition of draping these massive willow branches on top of the mizbeach. Now, b'chol yom makifin es ha-mizbeach pa'machas. Every day, meaning the first 6 days of Sukkot, they would encircle the altar one time around. Now, if you're encircling the altar, you're going to have to pass through an area called ben ulam le-mizbeach, between the antechamber that goes into the heichal and the mizbeach itself, and that area is restricted to just kohanim. So therefore, it means it must be just kohanim are encircling the mizbeach this one time. And when they do that, what's in their hand? That's a machlokas. Already in the Gemara. So one shita is that they're holding aravos, willow branches. The other pshat is that they are holding a lulav, meaning the araminim, like we're accustomed to hold. On Sukkot, they held it as it went around. So, although it's machlokas in the Gemara, Rashi says the maskan of the Gemara, at least in our Gemara here, is that they held the lulav branches, and that's what Bar Tanur learns, not here, but in the Mishnah, in Mishnah Gimel. Previously, he says it was they were carrying lulav branches around Mizbeach, one time each of those 6 days. The Rambam Paskins, they're holding, did I say that right? They're holding the Ravos, the willow branch. The Rambam says, no, they were holding, and this like codifies it, that they would hold the Arba Minan, the lulav, and the other three, and they would go around, the Kohanim would go around the Mizbeach one time. Now, excuse me. The Omrim, and when they went around, what did they do? They said, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. They said, please Hashem, give us salvation. Please Hashem, allow us to succeed in overcoming and achieving what we need to achieve. That is actually a direct quote from the Pasuk we say, of course, in the Hallel that we recite. Nowadays also we say it on every Sukkot. And it's in Tehillim. Per Kuf Yud Ches, 118, Pasuk Chaf Hei, 25, and that's the chapter of the Hallel that we say. So it's a quote from that Pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, what they said, he said what they said was, Omer, Ani Vaho Hoshiana. They said, Ani Vaho should please grant us salvation. Now this Ani Vaho, Bartender brings two pshat on what it means. The first pshat is a little esoteric, let's call it Kabbalistic. These names, Ana and Vaho, are two names of Hashem, three-letter names of Hashem. You probably recognize them from what goes on Hoshana Rabbah. In any case, and actually every time you do the Hoshana is in truth, so as you go around each time, once a day, so these two names, the sort of esoteric, mystical source of them is there are three psukim, three verses in Shmos Yodalad, Shmos 14, psukim Yodtes, Chaf, and Chaf Alef, three in a row, 19, 20, 21. Each of those three psukim there have exactly 72 letters, starting with V'yisa Malach Elokim, Haholech Lefnei Machne Yisrael. Okay, so starting there, those three psukim, each have 72 letters, and the tradition is that if you read those psukim correctly, as I'll describe in a minute, you can form triplet names, like three-letter names of Hashem. So the way that you create those names is that you take you read the first and third psukim in order, like the first letter and then second letter, and that's going to be the first letter and the second letter, if you will, of the first letter of the first name, second letter of the first letter of the second name, and then you read it forwards, so each of the 72 letters in a forwards way, but the middle verse Chaf, you read backwards. So you match the first letter of the first verse with the last letter of the second verse with the first letter of the third verse, and then you'll get a name. And you move through the psukim like that, you'll get a total of 72 names, since each one has 72 letters. So, for example, the first pasuk begins with Vayisa. So there you go. The first letter is a vav. And the second pasuk ends with the word halayla. So the last letter is a hey. Laila ends with a hey, so it's a hey. And then the third pasuk, again, begins with a vav, vayet. So you have vav, hey, vav. That's vaho. And that will be the first of the three-letter names that are created. And if you do the same thing with the, go through the whole thing, halfway through, the 37th name to be created is Ani, Aleph Nun Yod. So Ani Vaho are two names of Hashem that are created in this way from based on those psukim, and this is a reference to that. The words Ani Vaho in Gematria add up to the number 78, which is the same as Ana Hashem, and that's understood to be the same thing. Ana Hashem Hoshiana. So this is, instead of saying Ana Hashem, we say Ani Vaho. The numbers, if you can't shake them out, Ani Aleph is 1, Nun is 50, Yod is 10, so 1 plus 50 is 60. Excuse me, 1 plus 50 is 51, plus 10 is 61, and then that's the Ani, and the Vaho is a, two Vavs, each are 6, for a total of 12, plus a He in the middle gives you 17, 17 plus 61 is 78, which is the same as Ana Hashem. Ana Hashem, Ana is two Alephs, that's 2, and the Nun is 50, so 52, and the Hashem, Yudke Vavke, is 26, so things people know. So 26 plus 52 gives you 78, the same gematria. That's the idea over here, that Ana Vaho is gematria Ana Hashem, and it's these two mystical names of Hashem based on that pasuk, three-letter names, the 72-letter combinations. And that's what's going on over here, says Rabbi Yehuda, what you should do. There is a second, there is, by the way, a second shot where it's Ani Vaho, I and Hashem are together in this tsara, like meaning, so to speak, Hashem is with me in the tsara and in this trouble. And the pasuk Tehillim says, "Imo anochi b'tzara," I am with him, Klal Yisrael, in his tsara. And Hoshia na, save us, save us. So they should be, yeah, we should be saved, granted salvation. So it's a reference to Hashem is with us. And therefore, he should respond to our suffering by giving us salvation from it. Okay, now, va'oso hayom, and on that day meaning the big day of what we call now Hoshana Rabbah, that's the seventh day of Sukkot, the day before Shmini Atzeres. So on that day, makifin esam mizbeach sheva pamim. Instead of going around one time, they go around seven times. Now, this is a reference, and it's reliving, if you will, the experience of Yehoshua, Joshua, and the Jews going around Yericho seven times, one time each of the first 6 days, and then seven times on the seventh day, after which the walls miraculously tumbled down or fell in, and they're able to easily conquer Yericho. And since sort of the essential simcha of the holiday is to give thanks to Hashem and all the kindness he's bestowed upon us, and the ultimate kindness when he wrought miracles on our behalf, so we're recognizing that miracle, and we're recalling it, and we're thanking Hashem for it. Nowadays, of course, we don't have the mizbeach, so we can't do that, but of course, it's something very similar. The minig is, as like a zecher to this custom, we do the take out, like on Hashanah Rabbah, we do it seven times, and so on, every Sukkot, you do the same thing, take it a sefer Torah. It sort of is like a mizbeach, I'm granting us kapara as if it, the best it can, since we can't, the best we can do, like Hashem promised Avram that whenever you say the karbanos, if you can't bring karbanos, it's as if they brought them, like see the Gemara Megillah Lamed Aleph. So the same idea, we bring this Sefer Torah in the middle, and then everyone goes around it one time the first six days, and then seven times the seventh day, Hoshana Rabbah, and that's relived a little bit over even Bizman Azeh. Now, we go around seven times. B'shas p'tiras, and then when we finish with that, Tiferes Yisrael understands we're talking about on the seventh day when we walk away for the last time of the year. But other Mefarshim actually learn it's each of those days that we walk around it. So then we say Mahen Omrim. What do they say as they depart from the mizbeach? Yofi lecha mizbeach. Yofi lecha mizbeach. Yofi means beauty. So beauty is to you mizbeach. Altar. Beauty is to you mizbeach. Meaning that we beautified you by draping you with these branches and walking around you as the center of our focus and saying these tefillas. So that's like a glory to you, Mizbeach, because you do what, because in recognition of what you do for us, you are the agent that allows us to have kapara, atonement. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, no, he says what they said is Leka, that's Yud and Hey, that name of a Shem Hashem, Leka ulecha mizbeach, Leka ulecha mizbeach, which means Leka to Hashem, we are grateful, ulecha mizbeach, and to you the altar, we praise for being our agents. It's important to understand that the mizbeach and Hashem are not on the same equal footing. Of course, Hashem is the one to whom we turn our eyes exclusively, but we recognize he has this agent that he chose called the Mizbeach, which allows us to get kapara, and we praise that agent because it's so fantastic, but of course the thanks goes directly to Hashem, not to the Mizbeach. So we say, it's saying, Laka to Hashem, we give thanks, Ulacha Mizbeach, we praise the Mizbeach for you. We say that twice. We Laka Ulacha Mizbeach, Laka Ulacha Mizbeach.
Okay.